We haven't met before. My name's Sarah. I'll have the privilege of reading the passage for us tonight. It's not up there, but it's 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through to chapter 2, verse 2. I'll give you a moment to find that. So beginning at 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
If I can turn this on. You can hear me? Yeah, great. I do want to repeat the big thank you earlier. We've really appreciated being here and experiencing that great love that everyone has. So thank you. And thanks for giving me this opportunity to share God's word with you. I've been really encouraged by this passage, and I hope you will be too. Let's ask God for his help in understanding his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this word that teaches, rebukes, corrects, and trains us in righteousness. We pray today that you'd help us to understand it. Please give us clear thinking and the will to put into practice what you want us to do. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Well, I have a friend who once said something that surprised me. He said he was beyond forgiveness. See, there was something he had done, something he deeply regretted, something terrible. And he shared about it, or he's a Christian, and he shared about it with some of his Christian friends. And they condemned him for it. It was that bad. Now, this friend, he's a Christian, and he knows that Jesus' offer of forgiveness is for all sin. Not just the ones we think are small, but for all sin. And yet, in that moment of despair, he felt like he had gone too far. He felt like his sin separated him from God. I wonder, have you ever felt like that? Have you ever done something you've deeply regretted and then wondered whether you're still okay with God? Has there ever been something you've understood it's been really wrong and guiltful and shameful? And have you ever wondered whether Jesus' offer of forgiveness extends even to that? I have another friend, and he said to me, well, if Jesus forgives you of all sins, doesn't that just mean you can do whatever you want? How would you answer that? Well, that's right. Well, we're going to look today at this passage, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to chapter 2, verse 2, and I think God is very gracious in helping us to understand what to do with our sin, how to think about it clearly. And I've prepared today's talk in 3 points. If you're someone who likes to write or just appreciates the structure, so point one is walking in the light. Point two, forgiveness of sins. And point three, turning away from sin. Walking in the light, forgiveness of sins, and turning away from sin. We'll start with point one, walking in the light. And it might be helpful to have a quick recap since we're starting at verse 5. Right in the introduction, we see this is a letter from the Apostle John. John was a disciple who had spent time with Jesus. He had heard Jesus, touched Jesus, listened to his teaching, And now he's about to share some of the things he's learnt personally from Jesus. One of those things is that God is light. Let's look together, verses 5 to 7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. God is light. John's telling us that God is light. Now, this metaphor might seem a little bit tricky. That metaphor of light is used throughout the Bible to mean a variety of different things. So what does it mean here? Well, I think it's about moral goodness. It's about moral goodness. And to help us to understand that, well, I've brought an actual light. It's a torch. Let's turn it on. Pretty bright. This torch, it's the source of light, and it's very bright. And I've got something else as well. Over here, we've got this ball. Two things, both very bright, but they're bright in different ways, aren't they? The torch is the source of the light, and the ball is reflecting the light of the torch. Okay, keep that in mind, keep that in mind. Now, I think God is like this torch. God is light in that he's not, when I say that he's good, I'm not simply saying that he's just a good person. No, he's the source of goodness. He is the standard that we measure right and wrong. God is the foundation of moral goodness. God is the foundation of moral goodness. All right, we'll come back to the torch and the ball. So this torch, it's the source of the light. God is the source of goodness. And what about us? Well, this ball can be in the light. This ball, it's not a source of light by itself, but it's reflecting the light of the torch. It's reflecting the light of the torch. And I think that can be true for us as well. We can be in the light, in God's light, reflecting his goodness. We can do good things. We can try to live good and godly lives, to do good works. Not to say that our works save us or to make us acceptable before God, but as God's people walking in the light, we seek to do good things. So we have God. God is light. God is the foundation of moral goodness. And we as people walking in the light, we seek to do what is good. And so as we come to verse 6, we'll see this language of fellowship, fellowship with God. Fellowship means being united. And it talks about walking, this walking which is active. Walking in darkness means actively living a life away from God. So that means if we say we're in fellowship with God, if we say we're Christian, and our actions show that we're away from God, well, our words and our actions, they don't fit one another. We're actually lying and not living out the truth. That's verse 6. So what are we supposed to do instead? We're to walk in the light, to reflect God's goodness. And as we reflect God's goodness, then we actually are in fellowship with God and with one another. Now, in speaking about reflecting God's goodness and doing good things, well, it's helpful to remind ourselves that it's not our good things that save us. And that's why I think John has put here, it's not our good things that save us. No, verse 7, the end of verse 7, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. It's not our works that save us. It's Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. He took the punishment for our sins. He purifies us from all sin. So what do we see here? We see that God is light. He is the foundation of moral goodness. And we're to walk in that light, to do good things, to love one another. Now, verse 7, it ends with sin. And as we transition to our second point on the forgiveness of sins, well, we might be a bit confused as to what sin is, how to deal with it. And even defining it can be hard. So let me give you my definition. Sin is rebellion against God. Sin is rebellion against God. And if it's rebellion against God, who is good, the foundation of moral goodness, then sin is essentially evil. Now, some people recognize that they're sinful and they're broken, that they do sin against God. But I suspect some of us here might think we're okay, that we don't have a problem with sin. Some of us might think, oh, well, we try to do good things, we're friendly, we're loving, people think we're nice. We might start thinking that we don't have a problem with sin. Could that be you? If we think that we don't have a problem with sin, we're actually deceiving ourselves. Let's look together, verses 8 to 10. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Everyone has sinned, whether it's lying or lashing out in anger or looking at someone with lustful thoughts or being selfish. Everyone has sinned. And sadly, that's something we continue to do. And God knows that we've sinned. God knows that. And he even tells us in his word. So if we say that we haven't sinned, then we're actually saying that God's a liar. That's in verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. So what are we supposed to do with this problem of sin, our problem of sin? Well, there's good news, and that good news isn't found in us. It's found in God. See, God is faithful. Stu helpfully pointed us to the Psalms right at the start, and we saw this promise of forgiveness. And God throughout the Bible has promised that he will forgive his people and save them. God is faithful to his promises. But not only that, God is just. God won't let sin be unpunished forever. Well, actually, God has punished sin through Jesus on the cross. And that means if we confess our sins to God, this is verse 9, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful and just. He will purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, I have a Catholic friend who'd agree with all that. And I think this is what he'd say to me. Yes, Jesus did die on the cross. He took the punishment for my sin. And on top of that, I need to confess to a Catholic priest. I need to go to confession and confess my sins. After all, verse 9 says we should confess our sins. What do you think you'd say to a friend like that? Do we need a Catholic priest? Do we need someone to stand in between us and God? Well, actually, God is so gracious to us in giving us his Son to connect us to him, the Father. Jesus himself is our advocate. Let's see that together. Chapter 2, we'll start from the second half of verse 1. Chapter 2, second half of verse 1. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. See, we don't need a Catholic priest. We don't need someone to stand in before us because we actually have Jesus himself. Jesus is our advocate. And I kind of think of it like this, like Jesus is speaking to the Father saying, God the Father, look here at Martin. Martin has turned away from you so many times, and he continues to sin. But he trusts in me. I died on the cross for him. My blood purifies him of all unrighteousness. Jesus is our advocate, and that's really good news, because even though we do continue to sin, that sin has been paid for by Jesus on the cross. And verse 2 also talks about how Jesus is the sacrifice, not only for our sins, but the whole world. And that doesn't mean that the whole world is saved. I think throughout the Bible we see clearly that people do reject God, and not everyone is saved. But it means that Jesus' death on the cross is sufficient for all sin, not just my sin or your sin, not just the ones we think are small, but for all sins in the world. That means anyone who trusts in Jesus can be saved. Anyone who trusts in Jesus can be saved. And so I must ask you, do you trust in Jesus? See, we've heard here that we all sin. I continue to sin. You sin as well. Every single person struggles with sin. And the thing is, there is a right and just punishment for sin. If we don't trust in Jesus, then the right and just punishment for sin is separation from God. It's what the Bible describes as hell. That's really bad news. But as we've also seen here, there's that great news that Jesus himself is our advocate, that Jesus' blood purifies us from all sin. So if you're someone who hasn't trusted in Jesus yet, then I invite you to do so. And at the end of this sermon, I'm going to lead us in a prayer where we will confess our sins to God, just as verse 9 has encouraged us to do. I'll lead us in a prayer where we'll confess our sins to God and we'll ask him for forgiveness, knowing that Jesus has died on the cross for us. What about if you're someone who's a Christian? If you're someone who already trusts in Jesus, should you confess? I'm seeing some little nods across the room, very encouraging. Yes, of course. We continue to sin, and so we should continue to confess, to continue relying on God. And so I invite you too, at the end of this sermon, I'm going to lead us in a prayer where we'll confess our sins to God. We'll ask him for forgiveness through Christ. And I do want to say that it really is for all sins, not just the ones that we're happy to chat with one another, that we're happy to share or talk about, but even the deep, shameful ones that you wouldn't want anyone to know about. Jesus' death covers all sin. And so if we do confess to God, he will forgive us. He will forgive us. It's a very reassuring promise. So is that why John has written all this, to reassure us? I think that's a big part of it. John does want to reassure us about the forgiveness of sins. But that might not be the main thing. I suspect John has written all this not just to reassure us, but to help us to turn away from our sin. We're at point 3. Let's look together. Chapter 2, the first half of verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. John is writing this so that we won't sin. And let's see how it actually links up with what we've already been seeing. See, we've talked about how God is light. God is the foundation of moral goodness, and we're called to walk in that light, to do good things, to love one another. And that includes turning away from sin. We've talked about the forgiveness of sins. Jesus went all the way to the cross to take the punishment for our sin. He purifies us of unrighteousness, and that means we should turn away from sin. So John has written all this so that we will turn away from sin, so that we won't sin. We'll put sin to death. But then the question comes up, well, we do continue to sin. And so I want to point out two things in the way John writes this. The first is how he describes his readers, how he describes us as well. He's not like a strict teacher talking to students saying, don't do the wrong thing, otherwise I'll put you into detention. No, he's like a loving parent speaking tenderly to his children. Let's look together, chapter 2, verse 1, just the first half. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. And the second thing I want to point out is where it's placed. See, in chapter 1, we have forgiveness of sins. And then chapter 2, verse 1, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Straight after, Jesus is our advocate. There's forgiveness of sins. It's kind of like a gospel sandwich. Forgiveness of sins, the call to not sin, and then forgiveness of sins again. And I think John has intentionally structured it that way, so that when we do sin, we know we're okay, that we are forgiven through Jesus. So John has written all of this so that we will turn away from sin, that will put our sin to death. All right, we've seen three things. Walking in the light, God is the foundation of moral goodness, and we're called to walk in that light. We've talked about forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, and because of that, we should, point three, turn away from sin. And sometimes when we talk about ideas and principles, it might seem a little bit abstracted, a little bit distant from our personal lives. And so I thought I might share a story to help us to see how the different things we see in this passage does apply to our everyday lives. And I'll share a story about a fight I had with my wife. Now, I have her permission, and if you know her, she's very lovely. I'm not airing dirty laundry. So I have her permission to share this story. And I think it would be, we thought it would be helpful in sharing this story to see how what we're learning here does really apply to our lives. All right, I'm a Christian. I try to walk in the light. I try to do good things, even in the context of our relationship. So I try to love Olivia, to do what's best for her. And one time, well, this was before we were married, when we were still engaged. One time, she had a rough morning, some things happened, and then we got together, we were trying to move some furniture, and we also had a bit of a deadline as well, so it's quite stressful. And I felt like she was taking out her stress on me. I felt like she was bossing me around, telling me what to do, and I tried to be patient. I tried to listen and be patient. But I became frustrated, and eventually I snapped. I got really angry at her. I blamed her. I raised my voice. She had ruined our day. Things were wrong because of her. And the passage reminds us that we continue to sin. And I saw that I do sin, even against someone who I loved. In my frustration, in my anger, I had sinned against Olivia. And the day after, when I was reflecting about on what had happened, I felt really guilty. I knew I'd done the wrong thing. So what did I need to know then? I think I needed to remind myself that I was forgiven through Jesus. That my identity wasn't in what I did or how I treated Olivia. My identity was as a forgiven child of God. That the blood of Jesus really does purify me of my sins. And so I confessed. I confessed to God. I prayed to Him, telling Him what I had done, and I asked God for forgiveness. And that forgiveness didn't mean that I could just do whatever I wanted. It didn't mean I could just say whatever I wanted to Olivia. That forgiveness meant that I should turn away from sin. And so I went to Olivia. I asked her for forgiveness, and she did forgive me. We talked through what it might look like to manage conflict better. And as I thought about my sin and my anger, I read through the Bible to see what God had said to me about about anger, about sin. I found that really helpful. Olivia and I, we still sometimes have our disagreements, but we know that our identity isn't in what we do. We are forgiven children of God. And that encourages us to turn away from sin and to walk in the light. And I don't know what sort of sins you might be struggling with. I don't know what's happening exactly in your life. But I hope you do see there is true forgiveness in Christ. Not just for the ones that we think might be, for the sins we think might be little, but for all sin, there is true forgiveness in Christ. And that forgiveness should encourage you to turn away from sin and to walk in the light. So what happened to that friend who I shared about at the start, that friend who had done something really terrible and felt like he had gone too far? Well, that friend, I still see him every week at church. He knows that Jesus' offer of forgiveness really does extend even to him. It covers every sin. And I hope we would all know that too. Let's pray to God. Heavenly Father, we are sorry for how we've turned away from you so many times. We recognize that we continue struggling with sin, and we are sorry. We confess our sins to you. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, for his death on the cross. We thank you that his blood purifies us from all unrighteousness. So we pray that you'd help us to rest in that promise. And because of that, to turn away from our sin, to put sin to death. Help us to walk in the light, knowing that you are good. We pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen.